blockers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. List is more. We should probably get Jason's reaction as well. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're good. Did you hear the dilemma? It's not really a dilemma, but the situation that Joshy finds himself in?
That he just won the lottery?
It's cute that you think you would answer the phone after we won the lottery.
Yeah. Sort of how my kids hear stories, by the way. They just pick a few details out and try to jam them together into something coherent. No, so his girlfriend told him she had a dream slash premonition that they won the Powerball. So she sent him out on a mission to purchase Powerball tickets. Now, they did not win yesterday. So what we're trying to nail down here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is how long does Joshy have to play Powerball? Do they play until they win? Is it just till it reaches the number that his girlfriend had in her premonition? Is he off the hook since he did it once? What say you?
Well, how much did she win in her dream?
It was $222 million, which is not the amount of the Powerball right now. It is only in the 50s.
Yeah, I think you can only play. I mean, come on. If you're going to have a premonition, you got to get the details right, right? So once it hits, you got to play every time it's at $222 million, I would think. That'll save you a lot of money for not winning the lottery, by the way.
Interesting wrinkle. Hadn't considered it.
Would you show up to work the next day, Joshy? Or no?
If I won $222 million, hell no.
Yeah.
No way.
Not even to gloat?
No.
No. That seems like a bad decision. It seems to put myself at risk.
Wait, are you one of those people that if you won the lottery, you wouldn't tell a soul?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't tell a soul. You wouldn't hear from me for
me
a long
too.
Time.
No, I'd still go to
Kaiser
work.
Kaiser Sose over there.
Yeah, just... I mean, to be fair, like, my job's great. Let's get that clear first. Put that out there.
Yeah, on the record.
Sometimes I got to do some stuff that necessarily I don't want to do, which, like, you know, I sleep in a little bit on occasion. That'd be nice.
You think your dog's letting you sleep in at this
Good point.
Point.
Good point.
Jason. Statistically, hello, buddy. Statistically, the offense and the defense, I guess, finished in the top 10. Did it feel like it to you?
Certainly not down the stretch with the offense. And look, Josh Jacobs was obviously the engine that put them there at a level that they had not had even with my guy Aaron Jones. So, no, it just felt like it was always off. And even during that run when they had, what, five straight games, Gabe, of 30 or more points?
Correct.
It never quite felt like it was – like it was almost like you got to the end of the game and you're like, oh, they scored 30 points again. Right? Like, you just never got the sense that they were really humming. And so, no, that's a great question. We might have to steal that. Like, we stole your where are the Packers in relation to the Super Bowl teams question, which was also outstanding. But did you ever feel like they were really humming?
No.
I just never did.
But, Jason, I've been banging on the drum. I don't think LaFleur wants to be a 50-50 team. I think he wants to be a little more elevated in the pass game than the run. Would you agree with that or no?
Yeah. But let's be honest. They all do, right? Like, Holmgren wanted to be. McCarthy wanted to be. I mean, maybe Sherman in 03 really enjoyed the run the ball because he was a tight ends coach. I think they always want to throw the ball, and they know the quickest way to the end zone is generally – through the air. So, yeah, I do think that. And that, again, is why I look at this past season as this kind of petri dish that it took a while and still has not fully figured out what was growing in it. And now this is the off season where they got to get in the lab and figure out, you know, all right, we have these ingredients for an offense, but we did not figure out exactly how to meld them together for it to be optimal. And Josh Jacobs, as we've talked about multiple times on this show and across our shows, has been a great thing. There's no denying that. But to make it a really, really, really great thing, you have to figure out how to marry up what Josh Jacobs does well in the run game with making the pass game and the play-action game more effective. And to me, that is Matt LaFleur's biggest challenge for the offseason.
Jason, a lot of folks were surprised by Rich Bisaccia getting another year added to his contract with that report coming out yesterday. But the thing that I'm most interested when it comes to that, Rich Bisaccia, game management advisor, is that something he had been doing, or is that going to be a new part of his role with getting the extension?
No, that's what he's... I know you watch the games. I was going to say something snarky then, and it would have been mean-spirited. I don't want to be that guy. But you watch the games, right?
Yeah.
Like, LaFleur is talking to him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that has been his role. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone include it in, like Spoon did, in the story, per se. So I don't know if that's a... he does have the assistant head coach title, right? I mean, so there's got to be other responsibilities that come with that. But they're always talking about situations. Anytime you see Matt LaFleur on the sideline and he's not... screaming or yelling at an official or getting too emotional, he's usually talking to Bisaccia. So, yeah, I think that's something that Bisaccia has always done. I agree with you that seeing it in Spoon's story made me wonder that is not, like, if you go to the website, it doesn't say Rich Bisaccia, special teams coordinator, assistant head coach, game management advisor. But I don't think there's any question that that's one of the areas that he's been very active with Matt LaFleur.
I mean, why would they give him another job when he can't do his normal job well? What the hell are they doing there? I'm sorry.
Yeah, again,
it's like Luke Getsy. Jason, it's like Getsy. You went to the Bears, fired. You went to the Raiders, fired, and then went to the other side of the ball, and let's bring him back here.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, I would think there's been a lot of coaches that have coached for the Bears and the Raiders who were good coaches, and that's where good coaches go to die, or at least go to get fired, right? I mean, those are two highly dysfunctional franchises. Now, have they hired guys that weren't good coaches? Sure, of course they have, right? But I'm not saying Luke Getsy is the same as this guy, but Josh McDaniels has been an abject failure as a head coach. Agreed?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
But that doesn't mean that he's not a good offensive coordinator, right? Like, Ray Rhodes was a good defensive coordinator. Was he a good head coach? No. You know, he gave players way too much rope and tried to treat them like men, and it didn't work. I mean, there's always coaches that rise one rung above where they should be on the ladder. I mean, you could argue, if we're being honest, that Joe Barry is a good linebackers coach and should have never been a coordinator, much less three times, right? But, you know, when you get fired from those roles, that doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. Like, I'll say this, you know, whether it's Davante Adams, who had him as a wide receivers coach, or Rodgers, who had him as a quarterback's coach, I think Luke Getsy is viewed by players as a guy who helps you get better and is insightful and is helpful. So I don't know what his role is going to entail. But
where I get skewed, Jason, is our roster in 92 was horrible. It was not very good. Yet we still won 9 games, and that was because of Holmgren. He probably won 5 or 6. So that's where I get skewed. If you're a good coach, you find a way to win, even though if you're void of talent. That's why I'm so skewed. I'm like, God, we should have won 5 games that year, and we wound up losing the last game of the year to Minnesota to miss the playoffs.
I don't know what Antonio Pierce did or was doing. Like, I don't know enough about the inner workings of the Raiders. Obviously, I know enough about the Bears to say that they're just, I mean, and maybe Ben Johnson is the magician who will finally, you know, turn them into a successful franchise. But again, I just think that there's lots of coaches that go to situations that, you're right, Holmgren elevated you guys. There's no denying that. He was also the head coach. He also had, what was it, after two games where you guys had lost your first two games, and he's wondering if he's ever going to win a game in the NFL. Like, you know, again, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, right? He better. And so he was the type of coach that could get you stumble bums to win more games than you should have in 92 because of his greatness. I don't think anybody is looking at anybody on the Packers' current staff and say that guy's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer someday.
Jason, what does your gut tell you about how some of these other coaching positions shake out, whether it's Stenovich, whether it's Jason Vrabel? Do you think that they will, I guess they're drawing interest from other teams? Stenovich does not call plays, but maybe at some other spot he would. I assume that's something he wants to do, just to continue evolving, progressing in his position. What does your gut tell you about how those will shake out?
Yeah, I don't know how many more offensive coordinator play caller jobs are open or going to be open. I mean, obviously the only unfilled head coaching job left is the Saints, right? I didn't miss one. So I don't know who, if they hire Kellen Moore, who I think they flew to go interview in Philly, you know, he would be a offensive head coach who also calls the plays. So, look, I love the fact that LaFleur was ready to allow Steno to take, if they had hired him, the Seattle offensive coordinator job, because that's obviously a defensive-minded head coach in Mike McDonald. He would have been the play caller. You know, Sean McVay did the same thing for Matt. You know, when he was the Rams offensive coordinator, he wasn't calling the plays. The opportunity came up with the Titans and with Mike Vrabel, and he allowed LaFleur to make a lateral move so he could be a play caller. I think Matt was willing to do that for Steno too. I know that Matt LaFleur believes that Jason Vrabel is a coordinator in waiting. I don't know when that's going to happen and which team it's going to happen with. To me, the question the Packers are obviously facing is, you know, what exactly is Matt LaFleur's plan with the quarterback's coach? Is he going to hire someone from the outside? You know, we saw Bobby Slowick get let go by the Texans. We know Scott Tolzien, who was with Mike McCarthy in Dallas for the last several years, is available. He was the quarterback's coach for Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush. And then obviously you've got your two remaining candidates on staff now that Luke Getsy is going to have a title. Is it going to be Sean Mannion, who not only John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, said is going to be a head coach in this league someday, but now has had a year in the quarterback's room to kind of learn the ropes after transitioning out of his playing career? I still, you know, Tausch wants it to be Dan Orlovsky just so I'm irritated. I don't think that's going to be the case, but the fact of the matter is he's got two spots to fill on his own staff. And I think the hiring cycle is starting to slow down, which I think is good news. Like, I think that would allow Matt LaFleur and Steno and all those offensive guys, like I said, get back in their laboratory and figure out, all right, we've got some really good pieces on this offense. They didn't come together the way we wanted them to this year. We got to figure this stuff out.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Yes, it does seem like, according to PackersNews.com, that there are several offensive coordinator positions still available. In this list, they have the Houston Texans, the Raiders, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Saints, the Bucks. It says, so Stenovich could wind up elsewhere still. I just wish I understood, like, how all of these pieces work together between when Tom Clements was here and Matt LaFleur and Rich Bisaccia and Jason Vrabel and Adam Stenovich. Like, how do they all, like, come up with the game plan? Or, like, just I'm very curious about, that's a lot of cooks, right? Matt LaFleur's calling the plays, obviously, but I'm curious about Bisacci has the most input when it comes to game management. I mean, he has the title. I'm just very curious about how all of these roles sort of fit together to create the offense for the Green Bay Packers. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we will roll on right after this. Tune into the Analysis Show every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The Nasus Antetokounmpo hanging out with special guests for fun and surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with his brother Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of his unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.